Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Greg, what's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing fantastic, Neil. And I'm so excited for our guest today. It's like, I feel like I'm one of their family.
Yes, exactly. Child actor, my three sons, Barry Livingston. And Barry, you've been in so many other things after their sport. You went through a lot of challenges as a child actor, especially in that time period. Barry, thanks for stopping by. How are you?
Oh, my pleasure. I'm great. Great.
All right. So let's kind of talk about it. The challenges of being a child actor, and we can get into my three sons, but just at that time period where they really didn't know how to handle child actors at that time. Would you agree?
You know, I'm divided on that issue. Yes, there was a lot of, I wouldn't say the abuses that took place in the early days of filmmaking, when you had Jackie Coogan and Jackie Cooper and, you know, no laws and rules that were restricting the amount of hours that they could work. You know, by the time I did my three sons, it was in the 1960s. There was a guardian. There was the Board of Education would get involved. You know, if there were issues, you couldn't work past, well, you couldn't do more than an 8-hour day. But again, the problems sometimes occurred offset, you know, with the parents, not necessarily the people that you were working for. Because though they were, you know, they were governed by laws and they had to abide by them, and pretty much they did. But our set was problem free. You know, we had a great environment.
That's amazing. You got to tell me. So, what was it like working with your real brother as a brother?
Yeah, it's just a pain in the ass all the time. You know, what can you say? It's a brother. No, you know, my brother and I, considering how much time we spent together on set, we shared a dressing room, we shared a school room. We shared a bedroom at home, so it's a wonder we didn't kill each other. We're still best of friends today. I always looked up to my brother Stan, and you know, he sort of blazed the trail. He was, you know, on the Ozzie and Harriet show before me, and then he got cast on My Three Sons, and then I sort of filled his slot on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet. So you know, we got along great. You know, I honestly just don't even recall us ever having a real, real intense fight, maybe disagreements, but we never had any problems.
So let's talk about shows like My Three Sons. Why do they still live on? Why is it so? I never watched really My Three Sons because I'm 50, but I maybe watched it a few times. It depends on the age level, but yeah, everyone's heard of it. Why? Why is it so synonymous?
It's reached that tipping point now where you'll go to a young person and you'll say My Three Sons, and they'll go, you know, blank stare, going. Yeah. Or even Fred, you've heard of Fred McMurray, right? And, you know, blank stare. Which to me, you know, Fred McMurray was one of the great stars of Hollywood prior to My Three Sons. So, you know, the longevity of the show was that it was a family drama. It's still relatable, all the problems that occurred within the house. And it had a little bit of a unique, you know, a unique format where it was an all-male household originally. That was the original concept. By the end, you know, there was daughter-in-laws, there was wives, there was kids, you know, all kinds of people got away from the original concept. But still, it's non-threatening. It's just pure entertainment. There was no message, no big heavy message trying to be told, and it was done very skillfully.
Wow. You know, you mentioned something, you know, you did work with the legend, Fred McMurray. You know, what were some of the memorable moments that you had working with him on set?
You know, Fred was very quiet. Honestly, he was a very shy man, I thought. You know, over time, I kind of got to know that part of him a little better. You know, some people might have thought he was aloof or a movie star, but he truly was just a very kind of humble, small town kind of guy who got lucky. He was obviously a really good looking guy and talented. So that was eased his way into Hollywood. But, you know, he had kept to himself pretty much. You know, I mean, I think one of the funnier things was he got very while he was doing My Three Sons, and he suddenly exploded onto the American television scene as Dad. And everybody, you know, respected him. He was just an icon, you know, even in the early days. And then he went and did Billy Wilder's film, The Apartment, because, you know, he was an actor. But he played a real cad in the film. You know, he was a real, real nasty guy. It was like a very Mad Men-esque film. I don't know if you've ever seen The Apartment, but he played the boss who, you know, leveraged his power over the female employees. And anyway, so, but he went to Disneyland one time with his family, and some woman recognized him who had just seen The Apartment and came up and hit him over the head with her purse. And, you know, to her, it was real that he had betrayed his family. And how could you, you know, you're so bad. And you're, you know, I always thought you were this really sweet guy on My Three Sons. And you, you know, and you hurt Shirley MacLaine in The Apartment. And he went on and on about that. Fred did. And it traumatized him so much. He never did another major movie after that. Oh, no. He never wanted to go against the character that he created.
Now, when we talk about some of the legends, Greg, that he's worked with, I'm just going to mention some of them. Elvis, Jerry Lewis, Debbie Reynolds, Mickey Rooney, Lucille Ball, Jackie Gleason, Ozzie Nelson, and the list goes on and on. Let's talk about when you said working with Elvis. Not a lot of people could say, hey, they've worked with legends.
Okay,
like
that. That's slightly wrong. I was working at Paramount doing a movie with Debbie Reynolds called My Six Loves, and I didn't work with him, but I was on the lot. He was on the lot shooting another movie. I don't know the name of it, but this was the early 60s, and I came across this limousine, beautiful white customized limousine. It was idling outside of a soundstage, and I was riding my bike around, just blowing off steam, and so I, you know, the door, back door was open, you know, an invitation to look in, and so I stopped, looked, oh, you know, it was really cool inside of, you know, all white leather and gold trim, then had a television, which completely freaked me out when I was, you know, 10, 12 years old or whatever I was, and saw a TV in a car. And then Elvis kind of came out of the soundstage because it had been delivered and customized. He was going to take a look at it. And so, you know, he saw me and he said, you know, hey, you know, brought it over. I'm just going to take it for a test spin. You want to go? And I said, yeah. You know, looked around and see if my mother was watching, but yeah. It was Elvis, you know, and, yeah. And, you know, and I know that it sounds rife with a lot of today's issues of adults taking advantage of kids. It occurred to me actually only recently, strangely enough, that he knew me from the Ozzie and Harriet show. I wasn't just some random kid on the show. He was a big fan of Ricky. I'm sure he watched the Ozzie and Harriet. So he knew who I was. It wasn't just some little guy running around the lot. He knew I was a fellow actor. Anyway, so that was my encounter with Elvis. We took about a 10-minute drive around the lot, had a Coke, watched Popeye on his TV, and then we parted ways. And you know, it's a pretty magical experience.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, besides doing all the acting, you also did writing and producing. What was that like? Have you done particular projects in the past that like your favorite?
You know, I honestly, all the ones that I've written and sold never got made, but that's the way Hollywood is. Actually, I developed a project with Stan Lee that called Vampirates. And we, you know, we, you know, it's just one of those things. The company we sold it to went belly up. But primarily, you know, my life has been as an actor, and I continue to act today and have a couple of actually a big project out right now. And it's called Mrs. Davis.
I've been hearing some big things on this. This is wild because
it is wild.
Involving AI, and Greg's going to like this. Tell a little bit about Mrs. Davis. Cause I heard from somebody.
Yeah. Oh, Mrs. Davis is fantastic. And it is wild. It's a wild ride. I got to tell you, I was not prepared for that. I didn't have the opportunity to read all 8 episodes. So I was only aware of my particular role in it. But it's, you know, an AI entity, app, whatever, has really taken root in the world to the point of which people are almost worshiping AI, almost as like replacing God. And a very rebellious nun who plays Betty Gilpin plays this person who goes out to you know, find out what it's all about, what it's doing to people, and try to overturn this tide that's taken over the world. Mrs. Davis is the name. That's what they referred to as this all-knowing, all-seeing, all, you know, consuming AI out there. So you know, it's a really, really good show. Really, really great show. Brie Larson called Lessons in Chemistry, which hasn't come out yet. And I know that's Apple TV. But search Google Mrs. Davis.
Nick, and then Greg has his final question. Because I saw MMA, you were starring in that one. Tell us about that film, because I see that in your press.
Yes, well, you know, that was a great project. Probably the best role I've had in recent years. It was about Nick Newell, who his stage name was Notorious Nick. He was an MMA fighter, but the unique part about his life is that he only had one arm. He had a congenital defect, so he really was only able to use one arm in his life and certainly in the ring. And so he, you know, I played his wrestling coach in high school. And anyway, he embarks on, you know, trying to break into the world of MMA, which didn't want anything to do with him because he, you know, they were going, he's either going to get really, really seriously hurt here. You know, and nobody wanted to fight him because they said, well, if he beats me, I got beat by a one-armed guy. So anyway, that, you know, long story short, he does get into the world. He proceeds to gain the respect of fellow fighters. And I played his coach throughout the film in his MMA career. And he finally gets a shot at the title. And, you know, I'm not going to spoil what happens, but but you can probably figure it out. But it's a true story. Nick Newell was a pretty amazing guy.
Interesting. Okay. Greg has a final question. He asks all celebrities about specifically a question. And it's really a deep question. Go ahead, Greg.
Oh, great, Barry. It's been a real pleasure, you know, meeting you and getting to know you a bit. But let me ask you this, you know, for myself, for all the potential listeners, what do you feel, Barry, is the most important thing in life you've ever learned?
Find a good partner. Find a good partner. You know, my wife, we've been married for 40 years. And yeah, you know, that is a big deal. You know, I mean, I think you can't overstate that enough because you're going to, particularly as an actor, you're going to have a lot of ups and downs. And in my life, my wife was not an actress, not really associated with show business. So it gave a kind of a balance to my life, particularly when things we're not firing on all cylinders, and it gave, you know, stability and tranquility and all those good things. If I can dovetail onto that, I'd say the second most important thing is just, I call it rejecting the rejection. You know, you get rejected a lot in this business, but you have to reject that rejection. You have to make it, you know, push forward and not let that control your life, because it can take you into a tailspin and a very dark place.
Wonderful. Thank you.
It's such great stuff. Best place people can find information on you, Barry. Where can they go?
You know, I'm on Instagram. You know, I'm on Facebook. You know, that's about the extent of it. I don't tweet. But yeah, that, you know, and just Google my name and you'll probably find some stuff that's out there. And yeah, that's where you'll find me.
We appreciate it. Thanks again, Barry.
Okay, yeah, thanks, good to see you. Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. That was Celebrity Interviews live from the Grotto with Greg Hanna. Guys, take care.